Today is June 5th, 2007, and we're convening to hear a work session, to move a work session on Senate Bill 5520, the Department of Justice budget bill, and also for a work session on House Bill 2125, which makes changes to the child support programs. So, Mr. Wilson, how would you like to proceed?
Mr. Chair, I would first invite the Attorney General to the table to comment as we go through, if need be. There is a new memo at the desk. There's very few changes. I just adjusted a couple of the FTE numbers. So the one that I'm working off is June 5th, but any of the changes are highlighted in the shaded. And like I said, they're very minor. So I'll just start going through as we have other multi-divisional budgets, Mr. Chair. The major changes to this budget as compared to the governor's budget, real high level. The Measure 37 changes here are not included in this bill. That policy package sort of depends on how much DLCD's budget receives, and that has yet to be finally determined. There is $8 million in here for the defense of criminal convictions, but there is no money set aside in a special purpose appropriation of the emergency board, as there had been in the governor's budget in the amount of $2 million. At the top of page 2, the juvenile dependency representation package, which is number 350 in general counsel, is funded at half the amount as in the governor's budget. This is the amount assumed in the co-chair's budget. I will say that that may receive further funding, but the funding comes as part of the DHS budget, the general fund DHS, and then it is sent here with matching funds. So it will depend, the final amount will be depend on what's in the DHS budget, and if necessarily changes need to be made, they'll be made probably in the end of session bill to the DOJ budget. The crime victims programs, the CAMI program, Child Abuse Multidisciplinary Intervention Program, and the Domestic and Sexual Violence Services program are each increased by $1 million beyond what's in the governor's budget. And finally, House Bill 2125, which is also on the agenda, its fiscal impact, which is $1.7 million general fund and over $6 million, almost $7 million total funds, is also part of this budget, and then that budget will work session will follow this particular work session on the DOJ budget. So with that, Mr. Chair, unless there's questions, I'll move into the division by division portion starting on page 2. In this department, the administration division or budget structure comes first. In terms of policy packages, first of all, this includes the actual sort of office of the Attorney General, which is sometimes referred to as the front office, and then also the various administrative services, accounting, personnel, information management, facilities maintenance, all those functions are part of this budget unit. The policy packages in this division, first of all, there were adding two budget-related positions, one which is currently double-filled, which is the budget manager, and a new fiscal analyst 3 position are added. At the same time, a fiscal analyst 1 position is eliminated, and the associated FTE with that. LFO recommends the approval of this package, but delaying the fiscal analyst 3 by 3 months to reflect the time it will likely take to hire this position. The next policy package is 104, which is honors attorneys. This package, or the honor attorneys, are third-year law students who are students that are identified in the third year who are talented and provide some great opportunity to do some early recruiting. There are currently 8 of these. This package adds another 2 honors attorneys, and these are attorneys that work in various parts of the agency in terms of doing legal work, and it also provides, to be honest, a more efficient way of providing some legal services. So we recommend the approval of this package at the amount included in the governor's budget. Package 491 is a package you'll see in almost every division. I'll explain it here and just note it as you go through. This is a package that responds to a 2005 legislative session budget note, which directed the agency to implement a full cost accounting method for this current or for the proposed 07-09 budget. This is the method used by most, if not all, other departments. The unfortunate thing for the department's view is that it ends up double counting those expenditures that there'll be services provided by the admin units, but they're financed from the various programs and other divisions. And so consequently, they're sort of double counted for accounting purposes. This does not change sort of the overall spending, just for accounting purposes. So the overall impact on the agency is about $23 million, and in this division, it's almost $8 million. But again, it does not change the actual spending levels. It just changes the way it's accounted for in the budget. Package 492 is a reclassification. This one particularly reclasses 9 information systems position and another and a office support position. We recommend that the reclasses be approved, since they've been reviewed and approved by the human resources staff at DAS. But unlike the governor's budget, we recommend that the agency find the necessary funding for it within their current budget and not increase the limitation for this purpose. You'll see similar proposals throughout this agency, and this pretty much follows the policy so far in this subcommittee on other reclassifications in other agencies. And finally, technical changes, a package that you'll find in many of the divisions, 819. This actually is just a technical adjustment agreed to by BAM, the agency, and our office. In this case, it recognizes a revenue adjustment downward by about $2.2 million based on information, does not change expenditures. But to make sure we're tracking everything properly, we want to make sure that you know about it. Mr. Chair, that's the administration division or budget unit. I'll stand for questions, or we'll move on to the next division.
Are there any questions, objections, or changes to the division's policy packages? Let's keep rolling.
Mr. Chair, the next division is the civil enforcement division. This division has a variety of functions, but their largest is probably consumer protection, and also includes Medicaid fraud. And they also deal with the termination of parental rights, also protects the state's interest in bankruptcy courts, among many other functions. During this current biennium, during the interim, one of the major functions of this particular staff has been defending the state's position in challenges to the master settlement agreement, which is an agreement between tobacco companies and most states regarding the tobacco settlement a few years ago. During 2006 and again in 2007, the tobacco companies withheld a portion of their payments. The states are challenging those withholding, and as a result, the emergency board added funding during this current biennium, and as a result, the department requested $2.5 million as part of the governor's budget to continue the defense of this revenue stream. LFO recommends approval of this package, but at a reduced amount. It first agrees with an amount close to $2.5, but at least for this budget's sake, only approve $1 million as part of this budget, and also set aside some amount as part of a special appropriation to the emergency fund, and that would be done in the e-fund bill. What is included in the LFO recommendation is staffing 3 positions for roughly 16 months or two-thirds of the biennium, and with the expectation that the department would come back if they need additional funding. It is unclear how much funding is actually needed because they don't know how much legal activity there will be in this area. There may be a state-by-state arbitration. There may be a nationwide arbitration, and that has a lot to do with the spending. Much of the funding is for outside counsel. So our recommendation is $1 million at this time, 1.98 FTE, which represents just shy of the two-thirds. That is one of the changes, as you can see that it's shaded.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hennett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Wilson, on this piece where the amount of funding for defense is unknown,
and the $1 million is set there as somewhat of a placeholder. Is there a reporting mechanism against that?
In terms of
how much of that $1 million was spent for that purpose, specifically defense of tobacco funding?
Mr. Chair would be, and Representative Hanna, it would be generally the agency would be expected to spend that general fund only for that purpose. There's very little other general fund in this division. I think the only other general fund is probably the Medicaid Fraud Unit. I would guess they probably will spend at least $1 million, and then they would have to come back to either the next session or the emergency board to access that special appropriation, and at that time they would have to report on the spending for that purpose.
Just as a follow-up, sir. Do I understand correctly, though, that wouldn't the general fund dollars, if they were just setting there as general fund, be fungible to a degree for FTE spending?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanna, I would guess they could be, but there is never, almost every single of your general fund agencies, at least in the bill that's passed, doesn't designate it. It's for this specific purpose or this specific purpose. So the same risk, if you want to call it that, is
out there.
Yeah, but
okay.
You take a risk that if you, if an agency sort of goes against what the expectations of the legislature, take a risk of the legislature acting at some future date, in following up on that.
Thank you.
Moving on, package 202. This is adding an admin specialist one position to keep up with the workload on ODOT cost recovery claims. This is funded from funding from ODOT for a value of $121,000. Package 490, again, this is a package you'll see in almost every division. It is basically paying for the increases in the central administrative costs, specifically those two budget positions. You'll see this is the funding mechanism in each of the operating divisions to fund those positions. We recommend the approval of this package. 491 is that reduction of expense methodology I talked about. It's across the entire department. This is this department or this division's share of that package. And finally, another technical change. Again, it's a revenue issue, just making sure that you know that it's there, but there's a revenue adjustment downward based on more up-to-date information from the agency. The only other item, just so you understand, that there is built in the base about $928,000 for enforcing the non-participating manufacturing requirements that are part of statutes. The agency believes it may need more and is concerned about the funding amount, and it is our recommendation that if they do need additional limitation for that purpose, they can come in front of the emergency board for that. There will be a bill that comes across probably in this subcommittee at a future date that deals with this, because there has to be some statutory language change. The current statutory limit is $700,000, and LFO does recognize that that is not enough. So there will, and I can't remember what the bill number is right now, but you'll probably see it again.
Are there any, is there any discussion about this division's policy packages as recommended by LFO? All right, let's keep rolling.
Criminal Justice Division, this has really two primary functions, the District Attorney Assistance Section, as well as what they call the Organized Crime Section. The Organized Crime Section deals with criminal investigations, intelligence, terrorism-related activities, drug-related investigations, really as part of the overall law enforcement community in the state. This is where the Criminal Justice Division plays the Department of Justice role in that area. The first policy package, 250, the governor had proposed just over $900,000 to restore a cut made during 2005-2007 budget. LFO does not recommend this budget because it was not included in the co-chair's budget. Packages 251 and 252 are dealing with the Tobacco Tax Compliance Task Force. This task force is scheduled to sunset at the end of this calendar year. Package 251 continues two limited duration positions until that sunset date. And then package 252 continues the task force activities as part of the Department of Justice for the remaining 18 months. It is anticipated that the sunset will be taken off, if it hasn't already, by the legislature. And again, the task force is a joint effort by the Department of Revenue, the State Police, and the Department of Justice.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Winters.
I'd just like to go back and ask a question on Package 250 and whether or not the district, and I wasn't here during the review, and I apologize, but whether the District Attorney Assist Program and the Organized Crime Unit also assist the DAs and the communities in the whole methamphetamine epidemic. Is that also part of the organized crime?
Mr. Chair, Senator Winters, my guess is if there is something in the department, it's coming out of this unit that assists the DAs as well as law enforcement generally for drug investigations.
Follow-up question, since I know for our county particularly, we have, you know, made a concerted effort to go at the second tier level, and which then gets us into the organized crime and those who are going up I-5, and what kind of impact the reduction would have on that activity.
Would you like to comment, Mr. Attorney General?
Mr. Chair, Senator Winters, I think that the main effect from a service standpoint that the restoration not being made is in relation to the ability to fully fill criminal analyst positions within the organized crime section. Those are the vacancies right now that really hinge on this package. There are also service and supplies impacts as well, but that's the service impact, Senator Winters, that I think restoration package would address.
If there's any, because I would not like to hinder in any way the work of the unit, and if there is a Christmas tree, I'd just like to put my 2 cents word in for.
So noted. If I could ask a question too, Mr. Attorney General, do you have a sense of how the organized crime unit fares in this budget compared to 0507?
Chair Shields, when the 10% reduction was made in 2005, it was made after the roll-up of 0305 to what's it called, essential budget level, old current service level terminology, and the 10% was then taken off that. And that left the division, these two parts of the division, with actually a little bit, if I recall correctly, a little bit, somewhat less funding in 0507 than in 0305. I believe that's correct.
I think
correct.
You're right.
And I'm not sure what that amount was now. We have the actuals here. Let's see. 0507 lab was $7,356 general fund, and this is $8,361.
$8,361,000. So if there was at least an increase from 0507, but this package would have restored the cuts that took place prior to that.
Okay. Yes.
And Mr. Chair, the growth between 0507 and 0709 would be those essential budget level calculations for pay increases and for compensation increases and inflation and those things.
Okay.
Moving on, Mr. Chair, to the top of page 7, package 253, Internet Crimes Against Children's Grant. This continues two limited duration positions for the remaining 6 months of the grant. The total value of this is almost $149,000 federal funds. The agency may very well receive additional federal funding for this purpose by the time this grant runs out at the end of 2007, and if that was the case, we would have to come back to the emergency board for additional limitation and FTE authority. 255, the DUII prosecutions, there is currently a grant from ODOT, which expires,
that funds a limited duration senior attorney position that deals with training police and prosecutors on DUII law and coordination of prosecutions. It very well could be just like the previous package, and ODOT provides additional funding over and above or beyond the September 2008 period. Again, the agency would have to come back for additional limitation authority. 259 is a program where monies flow through the Department of Justice to local governments for marijuana eradication. This continues the program, but the agency has not been formally notified that these federal funds are going to be there. LFO recommends approval of this package, but requests that the Department of Administrative Services, or DAS, unschedule limitation until they're sure that that money is coming on from the federal government. Package 260 is a package that had transferred an existing position to the district attorney's agency as part of a larger move to create an executive director position. At this time, the co-chair's budget and the LFO recommendations would not recommend that structure change in the district attorney, so the recommendation is to keep things as they are now and have this support position for the District Attorneys Association remain in Department of Justice. If there is a change beyond this period before the end of session, then that can be dealt with that in a later bill. 490 again is a package common to many, dealing with the cost of the central administration budget. 491 is that package that deals with the expense methodology common to most divisions. An adjustment made there based on more up-to-date information. 492 is a position reclassification. In this case, it's the HIDA, which is the High-Intensity Drug Trafficking Area Program. One of those positions, the chief investigator position, is reclassified. LFO recommends the approval of this package, but again, like in all reclass package, find the funding within the current budget. In the state police budget, there was a package that transferred the HIDA program from state police to Department of Justice. This is the corresponding package on the DOJ side. Since DOJ has most of the activity for this in terms of state agencies as part of its operations, the HIDA program will be transferred to DOJ, so you see a decrease of $2.1 million other funds that had been part of the base budget, but an increase of the federal funds. So the federal funds for this program will come directly to DOJ. Much of that $5.7 million anticipated in 07-09 is sent out to local agencies for local jurisdictions for HIDA-related activities. 819, again, these are revenue changes, but again, want to make sure that they're that you are aware of them. It's a revenue issue and does not change spending in any of the there are no limitation changes for spending. Mr. Chair, that's the Criminal Justice Division. Stand for questions.
Is there any discussion regarding this division's policy project as is recommended? All right, let's go.
Mr. Chair, Crime Victims Programs. This area or these sets of programs are actually part of the Criminal Justice Programs Division, but are separated out for budget purposes because they are a significant set of programs, both in size and importance to the agency. Package 300, the Address Confidentiality Program, this had been started last year, by the last legislature, 2005 session. The governor had requested $145,000 of general fund. The LFO recommendation is slightly less at $130,000. LFO recommends that reduced level, and also since it's unclear, it's a brand new program, only been up and running for a few months, that it needs to come back and at the next session as part of its Ways and Means presentation and talk about the long-term staffing needs. The major focus of the program is for folks that want to remain confidential so they can't be identified. Many of these are crime victims, many of domestic or sexual abuse, to keep their whereabouts confidential. Mail is sent to a single address where a DOJ employee then sends it out to the confidential address. It's unclear once the program is up and running how much work that will require. So we are suggesting you continue the current position for this biennium, but review it at the next budget period. Package 301 is an expansion in the governor's budget and agreed, and also in our recommendation in the co-chair's budget, to expand the crime victims compensation program and the witness assistance program, victims assistance program. There is one position to keep pace with the processing and claims payment workload. Package 302 is on top of page 10, is funding for the Domestic and Sexual Violence Services Program. The governor expanded this program by roughly one-third in his by adding $1 million general fund. LFO recommends, based on the amount available by both in terms of the subcommittee and co-chair's budget, adds another $1 million, so there's actually a $2 million increase, which not quite doubles the size of the program. A portion of it will be used for a position, but almost all of it will be sent out to the various nonprofits and other entities that provide local services to victims of domestic and sexual violence. Package 303 is an increase in funding for the Child Abuse Multidisciplinary Intervention Programs. These are support the Child Abuse Intervention Centers and the county multidisciplinary teams in each of the counties. This package is funded with CFA revenues. Governor proposed $1 million increase. The co-chairs added another $1 million and upped the ante on that, so there's a $2 million increase in this program, and I believe the base funding is roughly $7 million for this program, so it is a sizable increase. Package 304 is an increase in the Sexual Assault Victim Emergency Medical Response Fund. This is a program that pays for medical assessments for victims of sexual assault. The program is generally funded with donations, grants, and then those revenues are able to match, in many cases, federal funds. So you see an increase in $215,000 in the grants and donations and $140,000 in matching federal funds. There is a small revenue adjustment in this program, but it doesn't affect the spending levels. 305 Crime Victims Rights Compliance Grant. This provides a limitation through April 30th, 2008, as well as the authorization for two positions, limited duration positions, and almost $95,000. This grant is scheduled to terminate at the end of April 2008. 490 is this division's share of those central admin costs increases. 491 at the top of page 11 is the expense methodology changes. That's common to all agency or all divisions. Package 501 is part of a larger transfer that you've seen already in the Office of State Police and the Military Department. This transfers the Violence Against Women's Grant and the one position that goes along in administrating the grant program from the Criminal Justice Services Division of the State Police to the Crime Victims Program under DOJ. The approvals in State Police and in the State Police has already been made. This is part of that larger change in the Homeland Security transfers that have already been approved by the subcommittee. And in 812, there's a reclassification position, or reclassification of a position, again, recommends approval. We recommend the approval of this package, but as the governor did in this case, asked the department to self-finance it. That is the Crime Victims Program, Mr. Chair. There are some significant increases by the legislature in these programs.
Any discussion on this division's policy packages as recommended by LFO? I would just like to thank the committee for working hard to increase the domestic and sexual violence services funding to $2 million, which I believe is a significant increase on top of a base budget of around $4.5 million. That's 2.5, so it brings it up to 4.5. So I just want to thank all the committee, particularly Representative Nathanson, Wesley, Winters, and Hannah, for indicating that that's a priority of ours. All right, should we move on?
Mr. Chair, General Counsel Division, this is basically the law firm for state agencies. Have multiple functions around providing legal advice to the various agencies of state government. On top of page 12, package 150 is measure 37. Legal representation. LFO recommends no action on this, recognizing that the final amount in DELCD's budget has yet to be set, but there will have to be some additional positions and limitation for the DOJ in this, and will be dealt with by the end of session. Package 350 is the child welfare dependency representation. The package originally was designed to provide 100% review of child welfare cases at two critical times during the process, as well as adding $2 million in payments to county DA's office to ensure consistent representation by DA offices at specific responsibilities in the process. The co-chair's budget at this time, the funding made available to DHS, where the base funding is, was half of what was included in the governor's budget. So the budget, the LFO recommendation, reflects that. What happens in the LFO recommendation, and this was at the request of the agency, that the program be phased in later in the biennium, so it does roll up in 2009-11 to the same level it would have been under the governor's rec. You very well can see additional funding based on how much the Human Services Subcommittee puts into this program. I know it's on their list of add-backs or issues that still must be addressed, and it's a matter of how much how many resources are available in that committee to deal with it. Package 351, this adds a position to deal with the Portland Harbor Superfund team, or to be part of that team. The funding is from DEQ and the Department of State Lands. The LFO recommendation is slightly less, about 75% of the overall amount, and that's based on the amount of money that is part of the Department of State Lands, which provides the base funding for this program. Package 352 is similar. Based on the amount available in the Water Resources Department budget, the LFO recommendation is less than what was included in the governor's budget, roughly at two-thirds of that. I do want to go back to package 351. I failed to mention this. Part of the DSL, the state lands money for this, would have been unscheduled, and the LFO recommendation would be to request the Department of Administrative Services to also unschedule a similar amount in DOJ's limitation. Package 490, 491 are the two sort of repeating packages that are part of the overall budget for this particular division. Again, adjustments have been made in 491 based on more up-to-date information. And then in terms of package 819 at the top of page 14, again, this is just a revenue issue, making sure that you know about a change in a revenue decrease based on more up-to-date information from the agency. There is one issue, and in fact it is a part of the budget text or a budget note dealing with policy package 350. In the current amount, there's $1 million in resources for payments to district attorneys, and this budget note language takes into or lays out the expectations of what would be part of those intergovernmental agreements between the Department of Justice and counties and local DAs in terms of the types of proceedings the nature of the DA, participation in the cases, and various responsibilities around legal documents, preparing and reviewing legal documents. That this language just says that the intergovernmental agreements that are negotiated should address these issues. In addition, the second bullet there lays out the language that the factors that should be part of the formula for distribution of this $1 million to DAs, and it should be in terms of the percentage proportional share of children under the age of 18 and a proportional share of those children under age 18 living in poverty. It also states that if a county or a DA does not enter into agreement, that the funding for that county would be retained by DOJ and reverted at the end of the biennium to the general fund. It would not be redistributed to the other counties. Mr. Chair, that is the general counsel division.
Is there any discussion, objections, or changes to this policies? This division's policy option package. Representative Nickinson.
No objection. I would just like a little bit of information on policy package 350, which is the child welfare legal representation. From when we had our presentation from the department, according to the notes I took at the time, the policy package was basically to increase our ability to have legal representation from somewhere around 6 or 8% of the cases to 100% of the cases. And I also saw a note that it was planned to have some representation in listed several cities. I don't want to take our time on that. So would the plan now be to scale up from 8% to try to represent somewhere between 50 and 60%? Is that how that would work?
Well, Madam Chair, or Mr. Chair and Representative Matheson, the 100% representation was really 100% of the cases reviewed would be reviewed at 2 points, and I believe it was 5 months and 11 months, which are key time periods. That attorneys would look at the cases to make sure there weren't any legal issues or issues that would put the state out at risk on those cases. That is not done in many cases now, which sort of represents the 8% issues. And so it's a preventative mechanism to keep the state, to minimize the liability of the state in those kinds of issues. So the plan now would be, under the reduced funding, at least at this time, would be to implement that review at a later time in the biennium. You would still do 100% of the case reviews at those months, but it would start it later on.
Okay. And I'm assuming then that some of the other information we received, it remains the same about how it would be implemented, and anticipating locating attorneys in Portland, Salem, Eugene, and Medford around the various places around the state.
In terms of the implementation, I'll leave it up to the Attorney General.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nathanson, I don't think that the final decision has been made about attorney placement, but I am quite certain that it includes opening an office in Medford, mm-hmm. as well as probably augmenting somewhat the attorneys in both Portland and Eugene. Medford will, I'm quite sure Medford's going to be added.
Thank you.
Please proceed, sir.
Mr. Chair, moving on, unless there's questions, to bottom page 14, top of page 15, the appellate division. This is the division that represents the state in the appeals process for a number of different things, including the defense of criminal convictions, which was the major issue for this agency. Package 490 and 491, again, at the top of page 15, are those general repeating packages that I've mentioned before. Package 810 is an adjustment to the mandated caseload. The department had requested $8 million in their budget, as well as a little bit over $8 million in their budget, as well as a special appropriation to the emergency fund was included in the governor's budget for defense of criminal convictions. The co-chair's budget includes $8 million for this purpose, just slightly what was under the governor's budget for that was included in the agency. And so package 810 reflects the changes, which in this case is a slight decrease of $140,000 from that little over $8 million funding for the Defense of Criminal Convictions. And you'll see this come up again in two more of the budget units that are next in line. Package 812 is position reclasses. In this case, it's an office specialist position. I recommend approval of this package, would self-fund it. 819 are the technical changes. Again, it's a revenue issue, just to make sure you're aware of it. Trial division, Mr. Chair, has a number of functions. The division, I'm on page 16, the division represents the state in the trials in terms of commercial environmental litigation, corrections litigation, torts, employment issues, and it also is involved in the defense of criminal convictions, and again in Measure 37 as outlined in Package 150. There was a sizable increase of almost $1.2 million for Measure 37 related work. Again, as we did in the General Counsel Division, we recommend that this action on this package be delayed until we know more about the funding levels in DLCD. I will note that that the General Counsel's responsibilities around Measure 13, theirs will start to taper off as the trial divisions, as some of those challenges make it into the court process, will start to ramp up over the next year or so. Probably the greatest uncertainty in terms of staffing for Measure 13 within DOJ is around this division. We're not sure how many times or how many cases will be contested. Package 490, 491, again, are those packages that are common to all divisions. Package 810, the mandated caseload, just as in the appellate division, there is an adjustment to take care of the co-chair's level funding. Actually, in this case, it's an increase of $95,000 because there had been a position inadvertently left out of the governor's budget that was required. It was an office specialist position. So this package actually increases that. Package 812 is a position reclassification in this division. In this case, it's a legal secretary to paralegal. Again, we request that it be, or recommend that it be funded internally. And package 819 is a revenue issue, just to make you aware of the change. That is the trial division, Mr. Chair, and the policy packages.
Any discussion regarding this division's policy option packages?
Moving on, Mr. Chair, a budget unit for the Defense of Criminal Convictions. The general fund for the Defense of Criminal Convictions and the appellate and the trial divisions rest in this budget unit. There has been a sizable increase from $11.5 million in 05-07 all the way up to over $20 million. This represents the $8 million increase in addition to some base budget increases. I've sort of discussed the issue in the appellate and trial divisions. The co-chair has funded this at $8 million, which is slightly less than what was in the governor's budget, so that adjustment is made in Package 810. We also note there in that discussion that the $2 million emergency fund appropriation that was part of the governor's recommended budget is not included at this time in the co-chair's budget. Down below on the bottom of page 18, the top of page 19, you'll see a recommended budget note dealing with the Defense of Criminal Convictions, requesting or instructing the department to return to either the Interim Joint Committee on Ways and Means or the Emergency Board to see its progress in meeting the workload demands for this function, in addition to outlining what measures have been taken to streamline the processing in these cases. I think it should be noted that the department has done quite a bit already in processing or streamlining the processing and the efficiencies in defending this growing caseload.
if at the time that the $8 million is insufficient to keep pace with the workload, they can come back at that time and request additional funding either from the E fund or from the 2008 session, depending on the workload needs.
Representative Penner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we had been provided with information that showed late in the biennium, given the caseload, that was where they were going to basically run out of funding for defense of criminal convictions, and that was the $2 million suggested in the emergency board fund. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, I think, and Representative Hand, I'm not sure exactly when you're talking about, but I know the department visited with members after the co-chair's budget came out, which would have only funded at $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
The co-chairs added another $4 million later on to bring it up to $8 million. So, you know, I would guess that if things continued on with sort of the trends that are out there, they could start running out of money still at the $8 million level later on in the biennium if they're not able to streamline it more or the caseload doesn't change. And that's why the door is open for them to come back if need be to the emergency board.
So as a follow-up, if they came back to E-Board and the money is not appropriated, it's just an expenditure limitation they'd come back for to request the additional funding to cover the cases, or how would that?
Chair, no, they would have to come back for general fund resources because this activity, defense of criminal convictions, general fund is put into this budget unit and then limitation is provided to where the staff work is actually done.
And, you know, this is definitely one of the bigger growing parts of the Attorney General's budget, and I think he probably visited with all of you several times after the co-chair's budget came out to express his concern that $4 million just wouldn't get the job done. And so the co-chairs and I think the committee agreed. And is there any comment you would like to make about that, Mr. Attorney General?
Mr. Chair, only that our present calculations show that the addition of the $4 million will permit us to operate the program until about the end of 2008 before we begin to reach the point where we have to start waiving appearances for the state in criminal appeals. And that has always been the point we have urged the legislature not to force us to cross. So, indeed, if our calculations are correct, it would be my plan to come back to the Assembly in the latter part of 2008 to request funding that would get us through the end of the next biennium without starting to waive appearances, the same way the legislature did this biennium last September when it invested another $1 million in the program.
Just my final comment, thank you, Mr. Chair, is just that, like the Attorney General, I would hate to see us get to that point where we stopped appearing. And I don't know if the language is strong enough here that, you know, I guess, Mr. Wilson, it leaves the door open, but is there a welcome sign hanging there for them to, you know, get the job done, I guess. And I would hope we would make certain that would happen.
Mr. Chair, we will be coming back, I promise.
Well, we would be. We will have the welcome sign.
Like although Tom Baudet says.
A begrudging welcome sign at the E-Board, I'm sure. Please continue.
Chair, that's the end of the Defense of Criminal Convictions. I'll move on to the final division, which is the Child Support Division. I think everyone understands the function of this division. The DAs also play a role in the child support in most areas of the state, other than five or six counties that are listed there on page 19, Gilliam, Hood River, Lake, Lynn, Sherman, Deschutes, Jefferson, and Wheeler. County DAs have chosen not to play their role and have turned those functions over to the state, but the state does play, is the fiscal agent in all counties. Payments do pass through the state. Package 400 in the Child Support Division restores 42 positions and the resources necessary to fund those and other district attorney office functions. This is
because of a change in federal law in the Deficit Reduction Act of 2005, there was a significant loss of funding to this program, which was reflected in how the budget was developed. This policy package was added to restore most of that lost, those lost resources in terms of as general fund. In this case, the governor requested $4.9 million general fund. Since the time the governor's budget was developed, the agency determined that it didn't need quite as much as the $4.9 million, and so the $4.2, which is part of the LFO recommendation, reflects the actual need to fund those functions that had been had lost the resources because of the federal change. Package on page 20, package 490, 491, again, are the repeat packages in most divisions. Package 811 is a package we added. The agency has been under a federal audit, waiting for results of that federal audit for quite a while. And in fact, the 2005 subcommittee for this agency set aside funds for responding to the findings of this federal audit. They have yet to really know what they need to repay for this. There is $1.7 million in resources set aside for this purpose. It could be as much as $3 million, but it sounds like the feds will not let the agency know what the total amount is until after the beginning of this next, or the 07-09 biennium. We recommend that $1.7 million be set aside in terms of limitation, but ask DAS to unschedule it until they know what the true amount is. If it is more than $1.7 million, the agency will have to either live within their current budget for that or return to the emergency board to deal with it. This also has some impact on the OIA budget, but I believe that's already been built into the budget that passed out of this subcommittee. Package 814 deals with House Bill 2125, the fiscal impact. You will hear that budget here in a few minutes. Again, this is a response to the same Federal Deficit Reduction Act of 2005. At the time the governor's budget was developed, it was unknown what the impact of that was, so the co-chairs and the legislature had to come up with the resources for this, and that amount was $1.7 million general fund and a total of almost, I believe it's almost $6 million or $7 million total funds for this. I may be wrong in that. My adding here is not doing too well. That's close to $6 million total funds for this function. And the details of that will be part of the discussion here in a few minutes in House Bill 2125. But it does add significant responsibilities to the agency in the area of child support, and they're requesting those resources along with 35 positions. We have reviewed this and tend to agree for the need for those positions and resources and recommend the approval of that package. There are two issues developed here. One budget note dealing with the audit, instructing the department to come back with information regarding, once they find out from the federal government, the final findings, and to, and this deals with the unscheduling. The other second bullet there is just a note to you that actions taken, I believe in the Human Services Subcommittee, last week, I believe, was House Bill 2469, reinstated the a $50 pass-through payment. This will have an impact on the child support program, but it is my understanding that money has been set aside as part of the DHS budget to as a revenue transfer to DOJ to fill that gap. And in this case, if House Bill 2469 is passed, there is would be a revenue transfer of about $925,000 and matching funds limitation, federal fund limitation of $1.8 million. That would be dealt with at the end of session bill if that, if House Bill 2469 passes. Mr. Chair, that finishes the sort of the division by division discussion of the budget.
Any discussion at this time? Is there a motion on the LFO recommendations?
Mr. Chair,
I move the LFO recommendations. I move the budget.
Senator Westland has moved the LFO recommendations. Are there any objections? Seeing none, the motion is approved.
Chair, there on the bottom of page 21 and the top of page 22 are the actual changes that would be made to the bill itself. So there would be a motion to amend Senate Bill 5520. These changes reflect the motion we just made.
All right, so we need to do a motion to amend the bill, right?
Yes.
Is there a motion to amend Senate Bill 5520 as indicated on page 21 and 22 of the LFO recommendations?
Mr. Chair, I move the LFO recommendations be amended into Senate Bill 5520.
Senator Westland has made that motion. Is there any discussion?
Discussion.
Representative Panett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The bill we have, Doug, does not include the changes.
I'm trying to look quickly at the line by line, but it appears it does not.
The copy we have of 5520 does not include these changes.
Well, you're amending those changes. I need to find a copy of the bill real quick. So
appears it does not. Okay.
It does not, because this is the bill 5520 that you have in front of you reflects the governor's recommended budget.
Thank you.
Further discussion?
Have we determined the hourly rate yet for the Attorney General's office? Is that part of the question?
Mr. Chair, that has yet to be determined. It actually depends a little bit on some actions that still may take place around Measure 37 and the DHS child dependency-related packages. Any adjustments to agency budgets based on a rate change would be made in a bill that affects all agencies that you'll see later on in session.
Further discussion? And we have a motion in play right now. Any objections to that motion? Seeing none, it's moved.
Mr. Chair, the next thing is the key performance measures. You have those in front of you, hopefully. Generally, the only recommended changes that LFO has is a change in some of the targets. Those are noted on the first page there in the bold, larger print. It's either based on past experience in recent years or by some of the new funding in some of the policy packages. They're listed there on the second page of that handout relating to four different key performance measures. And the only other thing I would like to note that the subcommittee did express some interest in identifying a measure for the CAMI program, and we would recommend that the agency look at that and report back with a new measure if necessary or if applicable to the 2009 legislature for that purpose.
All right. Is there any discussion about the LFO recommendations on key performance measures? Representative Mathis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If we're asking the agency to come back and tell us or report to a future body something about CAMI, we're significantly increasing our investment in representation for DHS child welfare, the juvenile dependency package. It's a significant step, acknowledging we've been doing little and we need to do a lot more. So this is something that I think would be important to consider a key performance measure for, and not just how many. I don't want to count how many things we do, but I'd like to focus on what's the outcome, you know, to make sure that we're having the best outcome. That was the point of doing this.
Mr. Chair, Representative Nathanson, if I'm not mistaken, there are measures associated with this package already that I think they discussed, and also there would be measures in the DHS realm of performance measures impacted by this, and I think we would need to make sure that they note that in their presentations in the future around those measures.
I just didn't see anything in numbers 1 through 15 that was directly related. It would be good to collaborate with the DHS side to use the same
stuff.
We will make sure that the budget report, Mr. Chair, represents some sort of address those concerns.
Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Nathanson. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I move the committee adopt the key performance measures for 5520.
Are there any objections to the eligible recommendations on these performance measures? Seeing none, so ordered. We'll move into the final subcommittee action then. Is there any more discussion or is there a motion to move Senate Bill 5520 as amended to the full committee?
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 5520 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Westland has moved Senate Bill 5520 as amended be reported out to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion is approved. Carriers for the Senate side. Who's up? Senator Winters. All right. And who would like to carry it on the House floor? Kevin, are you okay with this budget?
Sure.
Yeah, don't give it to Barker. And I assume Senator Winters in full committee.
Okay. Yeah, and Senator Winters in full also. Great. Nice work, everybody. Mr. Attorney General, would you like to make any concluding comments?
Just briefly, Mr. Chair, I certainly want to thank the subcommittee for reporting this budget. I think it's a very strong budget. I particularly appreciate the increased investments that you have been made. You've made in four areas: the defense of criminal convictions, the juvenile dependency process, crime victims services, and the child support program. Those are all areas of our mission responsibilities that are of enormous public importance, and I hope the legislature, if this budget is enacted as it's coming out of subcommittee, I think the legislature can feel very good about those further commitments, and I promise that we'll try to be the best stewards we can of the resources.
And I don't know about the rest of the committee, but I wanted to thank your staff as well for being extremely responsive to my requests, and I think that's been my impression as well from the other committee members. So thank you for all you do, not only for public safety, but for consumer protection as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Attorney General. Let's move on to the next agenda item, which is a work session on House Bill 2125. Ms. Wilson, how would you like to proceed?
Mr. Chair, you need to open a public hearing on this first.
A public hearing?
Okay.
We'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2125.
Mr. Chair, this is a bill that is addressed by the budget you just passed out. I would suggest that the agency representative come forward and present what's in this bill, because she can do it much better than I can in terms of the intricacies of the bill. But since the House is supposed to go in at 4, we need to keep this relatively brief.
Yes.
Chair Shields, member of the committee. I'm Ron L. Schenkel with the Department of Justice, one of the legislative liaisons, and I also serve as the Attorney General's liaison to the Child Support Program. As Mr. Wilson referred to in our budget report, the department did not have the necessary information on these federal requirements in time for budget preparation, so we did not have a policy package submitted. We do have a fiscal before you today based on that additional information that we received and the ensuing policy decisions that are working their way through the Legislative Assembly. I just want to mention, and some of you have been around this long, the last time we came to you with a federal mandate bill on child support was 1997, and that was a 200-page bill. So you're getting off much easier this time. And we have waited a while, so that's the good news. The bad news is here we are with some federal requirements, and I can give you, first of all, the really, really brief version in 30 seconds or less. This bill has three primary topical areas that it requires us to make updates in. One is related to fees that we charge some of our customers. One is related to how often we do child support modifications, and the third is related to medical or health insurance establishment and enforcement. That's the extremely high-level version of this bill. Some of your members who are lucky enough to also be on House Judiciary have heard all of the detail on this bill, but I'm happy to spend more time walking you through the 3-minute or less version if that is your desire.
I don't think that would be necessary unless there's anybody here to testify in opposition. Do we feel comfortable moving the bill at this time?
And you do have complete written testimony from me, Chair Shills. Excuse me.
Okay. We'll open the work session. I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2125 and open the work session on House Bill 2125.
There are no amendments at this time, Mr. Chair.
Motion. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2125A to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Westland has moved House Bill 2125A to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objections? So moved. Carrier for the full committee, Senator Nelson. And that's all we need, right? Well, we will need a carrier for the House. Well,
yes.
That's right. So in the House, was this in your committee, Kevin?
Yes.
Would you like to carry?
Sure.
Okay. Carry House Bill 2125. Any other business? Next meeting is indeterminate, right?
Actually, Mr. Chair, right now there is a meeting scheduled for tomorrow. Bring back the Criminal Justice Commission budget, make a correction in it, as well as there's a public hearing on a bill relating to sex offender technician or
treatment
providers.
That bill would provide some requirements for sexual offender treatment. I believe it's already passed out of House Judiciary or Senate Judiciary. I'm not sure which. But in any event, that'll be heard tomorrow as well. This meeting's adjourned.